So welcome this morning to The Gap, and if you look around, you notice that Bob and Lee and Justine are not here, and about 15, 20 of our students are not here because they're on the way to Chicago to participate in Lead the Cause conference. So this morning, you get me. I'm one of the volunteer staff, Mark Johnstone, if you don't know me, and so I've never done this before, so pray for me as you're sitting there. And pray that it'll be God that we hear from this morning. So that said, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. It is indeed very humbling. Your word is a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit. Pierce us with your word this morning. Just as the deer pants for water, our souls pant for you. Refresh our souls with your spirit. For those who may not know you, I pray that you would allow them to taste your living water, remove any distractions, and help us to focus on your message. Help me to speak clearly and effectively. And we also lift up the students and the staff on their way to Chicago for Lead the Cause. Help them to be sensitive to and walking in your spirit. Guide them to those that you want them to witness to. Give them boldness as they share your word on the streets of Chicago. Give them unity of spirit. Prepare the hearts of those who will hear from them. And we ask that the students see fruit as you work in the hearts of those they witness to, and that they would see and know that it's you who changes hearts. And we give you all the glory. Amen. So the last couple lessons, we've been doing this series on basic training. Okay? So in the military, which I'm a little bit familiar with because I spent 30 years in the Army, in the military, we have basic training, and the idea of basic training is we try to take the human, you know, the human inside of people and make them a soldier. So we kind of strip them of their identity, you know, you cut, give them close haircuts, you put them in uniforms, you give them a different culture that they're going to be in, and you get them to focus on the mission, because everybody's counting on each other, all right, and that's the whole idea in the military. And it's funny, because in preparing for this, I also have two brothers that were in the Navy, and I have a daughter-in-law that's a pilot in the Navy. But Justine Middleton asked me, she said, you know, Mark, does the Navy have basic training? And so I told her, yes, it does, but it's watered down. Okay, it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. You got to get a dad joke on Father's Day, right? So Justine loves my dad joke, so that's for Justine, okay? So you got that. All right. But seriously, why do we need basic training for us, for students here? Okay, well, for one thing, okay, what is basic training about? Well, it's to prepare you to be in the Lord's army, okay, which is really awesome, okay? That's a cool thing. We got a big group of freshmen coming in into our class, which is cool. So a lot of this focus, okay, we got to have basic training, especially for the freshmen. But you know what? It's not just for the freshmen. It's for everybody, and it's probably even more so for the seniors. Because guess what? Seniors are going to be leaving after the summer, right? They're going to be moving on to a different chapter in life. And we've been talking about meditating on God's Word, okay? And the Word is the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians, that's what, you know, that's what Paul tells us. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's very powerful. The sword of the Spirit. You realize in Ephesians, the sword is the only weapon that it talks about in Ephesians that is an offensive weapon, and that's God's Word. So that's pretty important. For tearing down strongholds, everything else, it is very powerful. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. In addition to that, we're going to be talking about the Spirit of Truth, another name for the sword of the Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit, okay? And so real powerful passage that we have this morning. Okay, in basic training one, Bob talked about Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. And then last week, Lee talked about Hebrews 4:12, which says, for the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division between the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And this morning, we have a very special passage, because this passage is the words of Jesus. So it's really, that's powerful in itself. And it's about the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Spirit. Really powerful passage. And so in your cards, you have the scripture written out. It's John 14, 15 to 18. It is the NASB version. The version that I'm going to be talking about is the New King James Version, very similar. But just so you know that there's a slight difference. So that said, John 14, 15 to 18, it says, Jesus speaking, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. And he will give you another helper so that I will dwell with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world does not receive, cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because I abide with you and I am in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Okay, so that said, what we did in the past couple lessons is we spent some time meditating. You didn't get pens this time. You're not going to need pens. But what we're going to do is we're going to put a couple questions up. And like we did in the previous time, is we're going to take one half of the room, this half on your left, everyone on the left side. You're going to answer question one in groups of three. Okay, don't need to move at all. But in groups of three, answer question one first. If you have time, you're going to answer question two. And then everybody on the right side of the room, you answer question two first. And then if you have time, then answer question one. So questions one, it says, where and when in life do we need a helper? And helper is the word used in the New King James and the NASB, or comforter, which is the word used in the King James, and then counselor, which is the word used in the NIV, or advocate, which is the word used in the NRSV. And then what does that look like? Okay, then the second question. In naming the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus could have used the Spirit of love, the Spirit of joy, the Sword of Spirit, many names for the Holy Spirit. But he chose the word, the Spirit of truth. Okay, and the question is, why did he choose Spirit of truth when he talked about the Holy Spirit here? Okay, so that's question number two for this side of the room to start with. Okay, so you have 3 minutes. Go ahead and kind of huddle together. Does everyone have their cards? Who's missing one? Jennifer? Anyone else missing a verse card? Okay, if not, go ahead and answer those two questions. Okay, on the left side of the room. I need some answers. Where and when in life do we need a helper? And what does that look like? Anybody bold enough? Right here.
In times of relief?
No, grief. Of grief. Okay, I couldn't. Okay, sorry about that. In times of grief. Okay, good. In times we need, and what does it look like?
You could be like asking for him to guide you through your struggles.
Okay, you're praying to God, asking him to guide you through your struggles. Okay, good. Others? Another answer on... When do you need a helper, a counselor? Is that you, John, raising your hand?
The second question answers the first.
Okay.
We need a helper because we need truth.
Okay.
If we don't have the Spirit of truth, then we need to deceive ourselves and we are deceived.
Okay. Okay, and when do you need a counselor? When you're in grief. I mean, that's just another time. Yes, right here. Right. Okay. So you need a counselor when you're trying to make a decision. Okay. Trying to pick between, different things or whatever. So, okay. Very good. Okay. Then going to the second question. Okay. On the right side, why was the word Spirit of truth used? Okay. Okay. Other thoughts on that? That's good. Thank you, Jared. Why was Spirit of truth used? Is your arm up, AJ, or are you just stretching out? Is a good job this morning, by the way. Okay, right here, Aaron. Okay, excellent, excellent. Okay, good. Did everyone hear that, what Aaron said? It's, you have a need to be saved and not knowing him. You need the Spirit of truth. So, very good. Okay. So the context for when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and when he said this, it was the night before he was crucified. It was after his last meal with his disciples. And then so the question, well, what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a follower of Christ, right? So if I'm a follower of Christ and Christ goes to the left, I go to the left. If Christ goes to the right, I go to the right. So today, you know, for today, for us, if you've put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, you're a disciple of Jesus, okay? So what Jesus said to his disciples back then, he's saying to us as well. So it's very applicable to us as well. So a little bit on the context there. Then we'll go into, go back to the next slide, please. Okay. When Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What were Jesus' commandments? Okay. His commandments were love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments, the rest of the law is based. If you're doing those two, you fulfill the rest of the law. So Jesus, he said love. Okay, that's what he really said. And then, so given that, does Jesus mean that love is performance-based? You know, if you love me, I'll go to the Father. You know, so is he saying that, you know, his love for you is performance-based? Well, I'm going to get into the answer to that question, okay? And here it is. He commands us to love. For me personally, when I find that, you know, I find that when I love other people, especially when they don't deserve it, it makes me better understand Christ's love for me because I don't deserve that either. He loves each of us unconditionally. You know, even if we don't recognize it, he still loves us. Another way to look at this verse is, as a father for my children, I love both my children the same, unconditionally. If one child is obedient, that child can recognize and receive my love better because they're doing what they say and they recognize my love. And it's a lot easier for them in that regard. If another child is disobedient, the disobedience of that child may result and consequences that I didn't want that child to receive, but there are consequences when you make bad decisions, and there's nothing I can do about those consequences. But also sometimes, for a child, I'll even discipline that child, which is super hard, by the way, to discipline your child because you love them, but you know it's the right thing to do, and discipline's hard. It's hard on the person receiving it, but it's also hard on the person giving it, and that child may not feel like they're loved, especially at that time. But I love both of my children the same, regardless, and unconditionally. And our love for God's the same way. When things get really messed up because we made a really bad decision or something like that, it's like, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Well, he's not allowing it. You brought it on yourself. You made bad choices, and there's consequences to that. He loves you the same. But when you're obedient to him, you get to feel his love even more. And the cool thing about it is when you are obedient to him, you realize his love. There's a feeling of gratitude that, wow, this is how Jesus loves me. I don't deserve this, and he loves me like I just love this person. And it's like, wow, it's really neat because Jesus is using me to love someone that doesn't deserve to be loved. And I see the difference it makes, and I realize how he loves me, and it allows me to love even more the next time a situation arises like that. And that's how God's love is. Next slide. So first point is Jesus' love is not conditional. When we obey his commands, we realize his love, and we're able to love even more. Now, at verse 16, Jesus says, and I will pray to the Father, and he'll give you another counselor. He'll give you another helper, counselor, advocate, or comforter, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading. It says another. Why does he say another? Well, Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples, or not trying, he is explaining to his disciples don't get it, that he's going to be leaving them. And they're like, what is he talking about? They're not getting it. So Jesus is the first helper, counselor, advocate, comforter, and the another is what's going to come in his place, right? And so that's what he's referring to when he says another. And then the word helper. Do I need a helper to deal with my sin? Some would say that that's an impossible task because the Bible says that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're a slave to your sin. So, man, how are you going to overcome your sin? That's what the flesh wants you to do. That Satan's tempting you. The world's tempting you. sin is a our natural condition. So do we need a helper with that impossible task? Absolutely. And it's putting our trust in Jesus Christ alone that will allow us to overcome that sin. But the word helper is, in other versions, is also it's comforter, it's counselor, and it's advocate. And they're all synonymous. There's similar meanings to each. So it's important to kind of look at each of those. So for the word comforter, do I need a comforter in my life? When the storms of life are raging, do I need a comforter? When a loved one that's suffering from terminal illness, maybe one of my parents, and some of you have suffered this, it's excruciating, or perhaps it's a loved one who has an addiction, do I need a comforter? When there's a dysfunction in my family because my parents aren't getting along, maybe they're not even talking to each other. Maybe they're fighting over me. Maybe they're divorced. Do I need a comforter? When the world's telling you that you're not good enough, that you're not popular enough, that you're not athletic enough, that you're not pretty enough, that you're not handsome enough, do you need a comforter? When things look bleak for whatever reason, do you need a comforter? And here's the other thing, too. You know, the Word of God is alive and it's active. When you have a friend that's in that need of a comforter, right? And they need that comforter, you know they're suffering. Maybe it's a family member. Do you need a comforter to help you be a comforter? Do you need a helper to help you be a helper? The answer should be yes. And then the next question is, okay, counselor. You know, that answer came up already. Hey, you're making a decision. There's a lot of big decisions in life. There's a lot of big decisions for students that you guys, you know, do I go with the crowd? You know, my friends are telling me to smoke dope. They're telling me to do this, to have sex, to do stupid things. And do I go with them to be cool? Or do I seek my counselor and his advice? What should I do in this situation? You've got a friend going through the same situation. They need a counselor. Do you have a counselor to help you be a counselor to them? Because you do need it. Okay, to answer my friend. And then the last version is advocate. When Jesus died and he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is our advocate. He's the one, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as dying for our sins, he's our advocate. He's mine. And so when we do falter, he's there and he's our personal advocate who intercedes with the Father for us. Okay, so what does that look like to have a comforter, helper, counselor, you know, that Jesus is talking about here? Let's put the next slide up. Okay, this verse is out of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is Jesus speaking again. So again, this is really powerful. And Jesus gives an open invitation that's for everybody. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus tells us if we're burdened with sin, we have made such a mess of our life, we can't figure it out. He says, come to me. That's who he wants to come. And he says, and I'll give you rest. What is that rest? The rest is knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. It's the only way that your sin could be forgiven is by trusting in Jesus Christ. He was perfect. It was the only way that your sin could be forgiven. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, and he offers you a free gift. He offers you a free gift of forgiveness and grace, eternal life. We just have to accept it. You know, the word says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right, Romans 3:23. We're all sinners. And it says in Romans 6:23 that the wage of sin is death. It doesn't say sins, it says sin. Just one sin is death. And what is death? Death is, there was no death in the garden until Adam and Eve sinned. Death is physical death. There wasn't physical death until that happened, but it's It's death and separation from the relationship that we're supposed to have with God that was intended in the garden, the death of that relationship. That's the saddest part. And he offers us forgiveness. And in that same verse, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We just have to take that gift. And it's not a gift till you take it. So are you heavy burden, heavy laden? Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Put your trust in him. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what's a yoke? A yoke is used for plowing, okay? So yoke's used for plowing. So you have an oxen. Oxen has a yoke on his shoulders. If you have two oxen that are plowing, they're yoked together, okay? And then they plow together. So Jesus is saying, take my yoke, put it on me. Be yoke with me. When you have an oxen that is very experienced, a new oxen, he really can't figure out this yoke business and all this stuff. But Jesus says, so you take that young oxen and you yoke him with an experienced oxen, okay? And it's that experienced oxen that's doing all the work. And he's showing the young ox how to, you know, what he should do, how to be in step, where to turn, just real basic things. But he has to be really close to him. He has to be remain yoked to him. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So he's saying, take his yoke and learn from him. Okay, that's what he's telling us. So we need to be yoked to him. And then he says that he even promises, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when you're yoked to Jesus, you're going to have a light burden. And your yoke is going to be easy and your burden is going to be light. Okay, then next slide. So the next point is the Holy Spirit is indeed a helper, a comforter, a counselor, and an advocate. And it's like being yoked to Jesus if we want that. So so the issue is whether you choose to remain yoked and in step with the Spirit, okay, who God sends, and rely on him and learn from him. Will we stumble? Of course we will. But Jesus is not going anywhere. We just need to remain yoked to him, and he's going to do the bulk of the work if we let him. And yes, the Holy Spirit won't force us to do anything. But when we walk in step with Jesus, he will work in our lives, and he'll reveal things to us. And as we trust him more, we're going to see amazing things in our lives because that Spirit is just so powerful. Okay, and then the next slide. Okay, so then it says in verse 16 at the end that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Is that pretty powerful? That's what the Holy Spirit is going to be with you forever. So really powerful there. And then there's many names of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, the Spirit of truth is used. We talked about that a little bit. The whole battle for teenagers is truth. So Satan is the father of lies. And he's been lying and deceiving man since the start of creation. He's also considered the prince of the world. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us that the thief, Satan, comes to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. But again, within this world, it's really, you know, that's what's there. And so one of the real difficulties of sin is that we're deceived. And most of the time, we don't even know that we're being deceived until we've gotten ourselves in such a big mess that it seems like it's irredeemable because we've listened to the world, and it's not truth. But Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say clean up your act first or anything like that. He said, while we were still sinners, okay? I found that there's areas in my life, you know, that even 30 years after having Christ, you know, choosing Christ as my Savior and Lord, that being yoked to him and walking with him, that God reveals by his truth and his Spirit of truth, hey, there's areas in my life that, hey, they're sinful, and I didn't even realize it, and I need to surrender those areas to him. And so as I walk with Jesus, I'm realizing, wow, here I am. I'm 50-something years old. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm starting to, and I'm seeing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. All these things in my life I never had. You know, I never had to that degree. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. But that's what he wants for each of us. That's the abundant life. Just surrender to him. And his yoke, it's easy. That's what he's asking us. So the Spirit of Truth is also a name for God's Word. When we read God's Word, it's like a mirror, and it reveals the sin in our lives. When darkness is exposed to light, it flees. The Spirit of Truth also helps us to remember. That's how Jesus' disciples were able to recall and record everything what Jesus told them years later, and it's recorded in us in the Scripture that we're reading right now. It's how when I've shared the gospel with someone, or how when I've been with somebody that's in great need, right? We're talking about the need of a comforter, that the Spirit of remembrance, the Spirit of Truth, will bring to my mind a verse that I memorized and I forgot long ago, but it's just the right verse, just for that right time. That's what the Spirit of Truth does. It's how in the midst of temptation, a key verse will come to my mind. And as I concentrate on that verse, I'm able, by God's grace, to not give in to that temptation. The Spirit of Truth is a reminder in the midst of suffering and tragedy. And we all go through that. God reminds me personally, when I'm going through suffering and tragedy, of how I've seen him work in the past. And those memories are a comfort to me, knowing that he is able and he will deliver me through whatever circumstances I'm in. That is the Spirit of Truth, the God of remembrance that brings those to mind, so I can trust him. In John 14, 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." And when you know the truth from God's perspective, it's freeing. It's freeing from sin. It's freeing to allow me to have a relationship with God that was originally intended in the garden before sin entered the world. That's what I was designed to do. How freeing is that? In John 8:31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Next slide. Okay, so the Spirit of Truth reveals the truth of God's word. It reveals our sin, and it sets us free. Okay, and verse 17, it also says, "The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." From that verse, it's very clear that the Spirit of Truth of the Holy Spirit cannot be received by the world. And then it goes on to say in that same verse, "But you know him, because he dwells with you and he will be in you." Okay? The Holy Spirit only indwells those who trust in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. If you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. That's his promise. Next slide. So the world cannot recognize the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells only in believers. Okay, so and then the next slide. So this is kind of a wrap-up. Okay, and then I added a fourth point about praying at least daily. Why should you pray at least daily? Well, you should pray for forgiveness of your sins when you've sinned. Why? Because when we sin, we grieve the Spirit. We grieve or we quench the Spirit. It's two different versions of the Bible say that. So when you grieve someone, you've caused them to suffer. When you quench something, you put it out. The Spirit's like a fire. If you quench the Spirit, it's not going to be active in you. It'll be active, but you're not going to be responsive to it. So when we sin, we should immediately request forgiveness of our sin, because that's going to allow us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So at least daily, I pray for my forgiveness, or when I know I've sinned. And the second thing to pray for is to be sensitive to walk in, to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit's in you, okay? If you're yoked to Jesus Christ, hey, Do I want to walk next to him? Yes, I do. But I need to be sensitive to what he's telling me, because the world's telling me something totally different. And when I'm not sinning, and when I'm abiding in him, when I am trusting him, he will point out the way. He will give me good counsel. He'll give me good counsel so I can give my friends good counsel that need it. He is a helper, and he's a comforter when I need it. And I can give my friends comfort when they need it as well, because of him. Not because of me, because of him, what he's done for me. And then last, pray for wisdom. I pray for that every day. I need it. Wisdom is how God sees things, not necessarily the world. And so those things. So just in conclusion then, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, Jesus has promised you a helper, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate, the Spirit of truth. Accept Jesus' invitation to walk yoked to him and learn from him. And as you obey his commands to love, you won't sin because of your love for God. And you'll be more sensitive and responsive to the Holy Spirit that's in you. Do not quench the Spirit by sinning, but keep short tabs on your sin by regularly seeking forgiveness. By doing this, you'll be sensitive and responsive to the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit guides you, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all those good things will be evident in your life. You'll start seeing them. So you'll also enjoy the freedom of doing what you were originally designed to do. And the world won't tell you this, but to be in relationship with the Creator of the universe, because that's what he wants. That is true life. That is eternal life. That is abundant life. So, if there's anyone here that has never put their trust in Christ, and you want to know how, with certainty, that your eternity is secure, and to receive the free gift of grace that's made available only through Jesus, feel free to talk to myself or any of the table leaders that are here, and they'll be happy to share that with you so that you can know, you can accept that free gift and know eternal life that I've been talking about. And to have a helper, the Holy Spirit, that's in you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time that we've had together to spend in your word. And I pray that everyone that's placed their trust in you would be encouraged and refreshed in being reminded about the presence of your helper, counselor, comforter, advocate, the Spirit of truth, your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would not just know your promises, but they would be alive and active in each of us. I pray for anyone that doesn't know you and that's in need of an eternal helper, counselor, comforter, advocate, that you'd open their hearts so that they would receive your grace. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and it's in Jesus' humble and powerful name that I pray. Amen.